What's up? This is Movies On Up. Discussion episode, our favorite movies that make us mad. Lived any good books lately? I'm your host for the episode, Dave. Joining my lovely co-host, Ryan.
I am lovely for this episode.
Yeah, so it's our first week in a new format. You probably heard that in our news episode.
Unless you don't listen to the news episodes.
This is for you.
In which case, surprise!
So this episode, we're just discussing, we made lists. Our favorite movies that make us mad. These are in honor of March Madness, which kicks off this week. Movies that we enjoy.
Tonight!
Well, whenever you're listening to this.
As we're recording. Tonight!
Yeah. Movies that you enjoy that for some reason or other make you mad. Kind of loose rules because I don't think either of us really understood them. But again, same rules apply. Lived any good books lately? That's the tagline for this week. If you're not familiar with the tagline contest,
listen to our news episode.
If you know what what movie that tagline is from, email us moviesonup@gmail.com. If you were correct and you were picked that week, you get a prize package that will get sent out at some point.
So now we're going to send out 2 prize packages a week.
We got to send out 1 a week first.
Well, right, but we're opening ourselves up.
Or if you disagree with anything we say or you have anything to add, hit us up on Twitter @MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, or MoviesOnUp.com.
Yes.
How you feeling? Are you mad yet?
No, but I will
be. Mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
Well, that's good. I like that.
I had to work it in there somewhere. Before we get to our favorite movies that make us mad, I had to throw in a bonus list. Bonus list. This is our top 5
movies.
Is that
a sound drop you just did yourself?
I did.
Jesus.
Live sound drop.
This is off the rails already.
This is my bonus list. Top 5 movies starring Mads Mikkelsen. Number 5.
Who is Mads Mikkelsen, you might ask?
He was the villain in Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Our number 5 movie.
Also, was he Le Chief?
I don't know.
I know.
I only put it on there
because it's a co-list, and I have seen Casino Royale.
You'd
so
yell at me if I left that.
I would.
He's been in a bunch of good movies, though.
Good Bond. 4,
After the Wedding. Fantastic movie. It's on Netflix instant. Number 3, The Hunt. Awesome movie. Number 2, I know Ryan likes this movie, Valhalla Rising.
Sure, you don't?
I love it.
Okay. All right.
I'm just trying to get you back on my side.
Yeah.
Because I'm derailing us already. It's also on Netflix Instant. And then Pusher, which actually just got an American remake. Number 1, you know what number 1 and number 2 have in common?
They both are starring Mads Mikkelsen.
And directed by Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah, that too.
So that's our bonus list. Our top 5 movies starring Mads Mikkelsen.
And it's because the mad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep with a theme here.
You know what? Like, when I saw that on the outline, I just skipped right over it. I was like, why is he doing a bonus list for Mads Mikkelsen? And then I was like, oh, I get it. Mad. And then I got mad because I thought.
I'm all about driving home the theme.
We could have done.
We're doing a discussion. It's the first time we're doing a discussion episode. I'm trying to keep the energy up. I'm trying to keep it going. I'm trying to keep the theme going so people know what they're getting into.
We could have done Michael Madsen. We could have done Virginia Madsen. But no, Dave picks Mads Mikkelsen, who together we, I think, have seen 5 of his movies. So
I've
they
seen
all
a few
made
others because I actually,
you?
I had to.
What did you kick out? What didn't make the list? What's the also Rand's Mads Mikkelsen movies? Quickly on IMDb. www.imdb.com.
Pusher and Valhalla Rising, I knew would be there. After the Wedding, I knew 3. I knew Casino Royale would be there. But
did you?
Yeah. Well, because I'd get yelled at if it weren't.
You've been yelled at either way.
Yeah, no, he's going to play Hannibal in the upcoming show, but
you're going to put a TV show on there.
No, I mean, he was in. I've seen 3 Musketeers and Clash of the Titans, but those
I've
weren't
seen
good.
Clash of the Titans too, but it was awful.
Those weren't good.
You're right.
So yeah, I left them off. But
okay,
Pusher 2. I almost put Pusher 2 on there.
There was 3 Pushers. Was he in all 3 of them?
No.
Okay, so he's just in 2.
Yeah.
So our list literally could have been Pusher 1, Pusher 2,
one,
Valhalla Rising. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I've not seen any of them.
Yeah, so.
I don't care.
So there we go. We're kicking it off on a Mads kick. Now to get to the mad. Did you list them?
Yes.
You listed them.
Wouldn't you ask me to do a list? I list them.
I know, but sometimes I just don't have a bunch together. I didn't list them. So do you just want to start with your number 5 then?
I'll start with my number 5. And in true co-host fashion, which is usually you.
So you have 6.
Nope. I've got 7 because my number 5 is really 3.
Okay.
It is the Matrix trilogy spanning 1999 to 2003. The reason that I put the Matrix trilogy on here is because the point I want to make about why this makes me mad, The first one doesn't make me mad. The first one is really good. It's a great action movie. I loved it. At that point in time, the bullet time thing wasn't overdone yet, and the sequels hadn't happened. I was pretty happy with The Matrix, and the Wachowskis were just good sci-fi action directors. And then they got this complex where they couldn't just make a good action movie. You know, just making Die Hard wouldn't have been enough for them. They had to take it to the next level, and the next level is to add some kind of allegory that just doesn't work. They started that with 2, and I thought, boy, this sucks. And I was out. I was out so much, I never ended up seeing the third one, because I just, the religious aspect to it was just too ham-handed. Make a damn good action movie and just be happy with that. But they couldn't be.
Yeah, so the first Matrix, it's the one you enjoy.
Yes.
But you're mad that it could have been better. That it should have finished out the trilogy.
I'm mad that they could have made 2 more movies and just had them been great action movies. But no, their work had to mean more than just...
In that same theme, going to trilogies, I'm going to say Back to the Future and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Love Back to the Future. Love Back to the Future 2 even more. Love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just as much. But then each of them have a third one that has a lot of sand in it, and I don't give a fuck. Why not just give me more of the same? Like, give me a third Turtles proper. Don't fucking send them back in time. Going back in time. And then the fucking third, I don't give a fuck about you goddamn.
They went back in time in that
Western
one.
Western love story, fucking Doc Brown. Like, what the fuck? That's not what I loved about the first 2 movies. It just, the third Turtles and the third Back to the Future just pissed me off. And I love the first 2 so much that I hate that. I would rather have them, Gremlins 1 and 2 were on my list too, because I'm mad that there's no more. I would rather...
But there's going to be, maybe.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because right now, Gremlins and Ghostbusters, like, there's 2 of them.
Yeah.
They both make me mad that there could have been so many movies of those, and there weren't. Like, just one more. And Turtles and Back to the Future, I'd almost...
Got the one more.
I'd rather them be on that list than have the third ones that they did.
I think I agree with you. I don't like the third Turtles, and I don't like the third Back to the Future. But can I tell you a secret? I don't really like the second Back to the Future either.
See,
that may be sacrilege, but...
I like the second better.
I don't.
I know there's a lot of... There's a lot... That's a big camp, though. People that love the first one and aren't into the second. I just like the...
I'm in it.
I like the second one better.
Okay. You're allowed to have an opinion. You're also allowed to be wrong, which you are, but that's okay. My number 4... Actually, there's a bit of a sci-fi flair to my list in that... I guess you could really make the argument that they're all science fiction movies, because I guess that's all I watch. But there's a movie I watched in 1997 that I thought, damn, this is a pretty good movie. This is a really good movie. The problem is there's just one character that makes me want to stab my eyeballs out and pop out my eardrums, and it is The Fifth Element. I love the movie. I really do, but Chris Tucker makes it almost unwatchable. He's just so far over the top. He screeches his way through the entire movie. And really, anytime you think you're getting into what is just kind of a pretty cool sci-fi flick, it takes me out of it.
He really Jar Jar'd it.
Yeah.
That
may be on.
I guess I see that. I guess I just didn't like anything about The Fifth Element. I think I only saw it within the past couple of years, though. So, I mean, I had a decade of it getting hyped up because I know a lot of people that love it. And then I watched it and just didn't do anything for me. Going back to not really sci-fi, kind of sci-fi, mine is The Crow.
Okay.
The original Crow. Love the movie. Fucking great movie. This is another one. It should have been a franchise.
It was.
Except Brandon Lee died.
Yeah, he did.
That pisses me off because he was on his way up there. He was a completely different actor than his dad. Like, he was a completely different... His career trajectory was different. I mean, what was the movie he did with Dolph Lundgren? The Showdown in Little... No.
No, it was like...
Red Dragon? Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah. It wasn't Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah.
He was really good in that. And then The Crow, he killed that movie. Like, he dominated...
And it killed him.
He was so good in that. Like, he commanded... Like, he was a movie star in that movie. And he was so fucking good. And you could have built a franchise around... Eric Draven in particular, like around that character. But instead, we got a bunch of shitty direct-to-DVD sequels one of them starring fucking David Boreanaz and Eddie Furlong. So, I mean, yeah, I know it's a weird reason to get mad, but I can't watch that movie without thinking about, like, fuck, not just more Crow movies. I think his career would have been awesome because he wouldn't have just been Bruce Lee's son, because the movies he was making weren't Bruce Lee's son kind of movies.
Well, no, not for the most part. No, they weren't.
No. I mean, it started off a little bit that way, but The Crow wasn't that.
Very much that way.
His, huh?
Very much that way.
I love that movie, but I wish he wouldn't have died.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure
his mom wishes he probably wouldn't have died either. My number three is a new movie. It's from 2012. It's a sci-fi flick. Prometheus. I finally figured out where to put this movie, what to do with it. I like it, but it pisses me off. It is way too cagey for its own good. Is it an alien prequel? Is it not? How do the universes connect? Do they connect? It tries to set up way, way too much, which is a problem that none of the other movies in the franchise bothered with. And for the most part, they were all really, really good.
It was written like the beginning of a trilogy, without knowing it was going to be a trilogy.
Very shortly after the movie came out, it was announced that it was kind of a planned trilogy. But they're, yeah, just the amount that they tried to set up, I don't think you needed to do all that in one movie.
No, in the first...
And this might be a theme.
The first half of that movie, I'm not into.
Yeah.
This once shit picks up, which I would say even like probably about 67% into it, it starts to get really good. Then I really like it. All that stuff leading up to it, I don't care. It didn't suck me in. It was trying to be too heavy. It was trying to be too much. It was everything that Alien wasn't. Really? Like, Alien was just...
I think there's a similar pacing to the two, except Prometheus, that first, the build-up to Alien. And there is a great build-up to Alien. It just lasts way too long in Prometheus. And the payoff isn't as good either.
No, the payoff's not there. I don't care enough about the characters. Like, there was... Doobie Rapace was good. I didn't really care about anybody else.
Stringer Bell.
I like Stringer Bell a lot. I like Fassbender, but his character wasn't really likable.
Well,
Charlize Theron was a cunt. Like, there's actors I like, but the characters just... I didn't connect to them like I did in Alien. So I'm on board with that. I'm just jumping around. So I'll go Hancock. Hancock's my next one. I thought Hancock came out okay. It got a lot of shit. I thought it was fun.
Kind of the inverse of Prometheus. I mean, from a pacing standpoint, like it started out, I thought, real well.
Yeah, and then it falls apart.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. Like, Bateman's good. Charlize Theron's good. Will Smith is really good. What pisses me off about this movie is I read the original screenplay called Tonight He Comes. One of the best fucking scripts in years. Like, it's so good. And as much as I enjoy Hancock for just like a popcorn, like fun movie, I would have liked that movie so much more. Like, I would love a Hancock movie made from that script.
It's like that original script that I read for I Am Legend when it was the Omega Man and was better.
Yeah.
I just had to voice my displeasure about another Will Smith movie that I don't like.
I mean, I liked Hancock. I thought he was good, but again, it starts off stronger than it.
Sure.
Than it ends, but.
And that's, if you have a bad ending, that'll make you mad.
There's some good moments in it, though. Like, even in the climax, like the him, like, running from the hospital, like, that's a good scene. Like, everything that's meant in that scene, I think it's done really well. I think it kind of derailed his career as a director. I think the studio got too involved, but that movie always pisses me off because the script was so good.
The next movie that pisses me off is from 1999. And I talked about a movie that tries to set up entirely too much, tries to set up a prequel, maybe a movie that I've talked once or twice about. It is The Phantom Menace, Episode 1. I mean, I like it because it's a Star Wars movie, and I like Star Wars movies. There are things in it that I think are pretty cool. But it is way too long. It is entirely too long. There's way too much exposition in it. And I kind of feel like at some point, George Lucas forgot how to make a Star Wars movie. I think he kind of figured it out by Episode 3, which gives me some kind of hope going into these new ones. But, I mean, good God. The first probably the first hour and 15 minutes of that movie, like, are just so boring. It's trade negotiations. That sucks.
And this leads in perfectly. I knew you were going to bring this up. That's why I was waiting for you, because I can't put Phantom Menace on a list like this
because you don't like it.
I don't enjoy it at all. And I grew up with Star Wars toys. I was waited in line for the re-releases, the
special editions,
the special edition re-releases. So, I mean, I was there midnight, opening day. Like, I wanted this movie and it was fucking terrible. So I could not put it on this list. I could put 3 on there though. 3's watchable. I think 3's okay. Mm-hmm. 3's okay. 1 and 2 aren't. Like, 1 and 2, I don't even think, to me, they're not even watchable. I thought 1 was so terrible with Jar Jar and the pacing. And then 2 completely loses me with the jump from Jake Lloyd to Hayden Christensen.
He's bad.
He's really bad. But
so bad.
How do you go from, here's a little kid and Natalie Portman, to here's Hayden Christensen
and Natalie Portman. Sure.
That took me out of it completely. I don't understand. Like, there's no logic that can explain that jump to me. Like, why is he suddenly a man and she's exactly the same? So, like, between that jump between 1 and 2, I just, there's no logic. I understand it's a fucking space fighting movie, so I guess I need to set aside some logic, but that logic doesn't make any sense. Like, how am I supposed to set aside that much disbelief that she's fucking a 7-year-old, essentially? Because I just...
He was 9.
I just
don't. In Phantom Menace.
I just, why not? Why wasn't she younger in the first one? I just don't get it. Plus, Hayden Christensen's so bad.
He was bad.
Even in the third one.
The script was bad in the set. Like, some of the love scenes they have together, that was poor. There's a deleted, it's not a deleted scene, it's a bonus feature where Harrison Ford is talking to George Lucas about his writing, and he says something about, like, you can type the shit, but you can't say it. That's exactly what happened in the prequels, except nobody said that to him. And I don't care who you weren't going to deliver that stuff.
I know we've talked about it on the show before, but there's a documentary called The People vs. George Lucas. If you haven't watched it yet, watch it, because it's an hour and a half of bitching about episode 1 pretty much. Because it's Jar Jar, he came out and said, like, oh, I'm making these movies for kids.
For kids, yeah.
Really? An hour and 15 of trade negotiations is for fucking kids? Like, I don't think he knew what he wanted to do. And I've said that before. Why was Jar Jar so prominent in the first one and then not in the second one hardly at all? Because you're making it up as you go. Like, if it were all written at the same time, wouldn't Jar Jar be as prominent throughout all 3? And I realize he gets the middle finger at the end of the in the third one. But I could do a whole episode on the prequels.
Yeah, we could. I don't think we need to. But no. I mean,
it's all you've heard before. But when you talk about movies that make you mad, I don't know anybody that Star Wars wouldn't come up.
I mean, unless they do it like you and they say, I just don't like this movie, so I can't put it on here.
But I liked episode 3.
Yeah.
I just wish the lead up to that would have been better.
I do too, because by the time episode 3 came out, I had so much trepidation that, oh my God, like, 1 was such a letdown. 2, I was already pretty down, but at least there was more action in 2, so it wasn't as boring. So, I mean, they got better, I think. But
I kind of piggybacked on that one.
Go ahead.
So I'll, we talked about 3 was good despite Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Another movie that makes me mad that's good despite somebody. The second and third Bourne movies, I really like despite Paul Greengrass. I get so angry at the camera movement on those. Like, just fucking invest in a tripod. Like, I know it's.
If Kevin Smith would have directed those movies, you'd have loved them.
I probably would have. Because just. The first one, what Lyman did was really good, and I wish Lyman would have come back for him, but just Paul Greengrass, like, I always pull the example of just Matt Damon walking across the street, and it looks like the cameraman's having a seizure, like, just to get fucking across the street. I just, those movies drive me nuts to watch them, but they're so good, despite the director.
Anything else you want to add to that?
No.
No, fair enough. My number one movie that makes me mad of all time. This is another one that I've already mentioned in some other list or in some other.
Are you number one already?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, I only have 5. And I don't care how many I had. This would always be the one that makes me the angriest. And I'm angry from a philosophical point of view. Like, if you're going to destroy something, if you're going to take something away, you better have something good to replace it with. And I don't think that was, they definitely didn't have that. I think it was just, hey, let's do something that nobody's going to expect just for the sake of doing something that nobody's going to expect. That happened to me in 1986 in the Transformers movie. As a kid, you spend hours watching the Transformers, and you can't, you know, we can talk about, you know, who was your favorite Ninja Turtle, and you're going to have, you could talk to four people, you have four different answers. You're not going to talk to four different people that have four different answers for who's your favorite Transformer. It was Optimus Prime. That was it. There is no other answer. And he has one of the greatest entrances in movie history. Maybe that's hyperbole. Maybe it's not in this. You know, the Decepticons are really just giving it to the Autobots. And here comes Optimus Prime. You think, oh, here it comes now. Optimus is here. He's going to save the day. And we're going to be off and running. This is going to be great. You've got the touch. And it's just so perfect. 10 minutes later, he's dead. What the hell? As a child, I bawled my eyes out. I was like, wait a minute. Why the hell would you do that? And they killed Megatron too, but they replaced him with Galvatron, who was pretty sweet. I'm okay with that. That makes sense. But when you kill Optimus Prime and you replace him with Judd Nelson, that is not cool. Not cool, Transformers. That was doing something just to do it. And it was met with such backlash that in the G.I. Joe movie, they wanted to kill Duke and said, oh, we can't do that. Because those guys down the road of the Transformers did that, and they almost got stoned in the streets. It, so much so that 30 years later, when they tried to kill Channing Tatum, I think they had flashbacks. They're like, we got an Optimus Prime situation on our hands.
Only
we can't do this again.
Test screening said, like, hey, you have an Optimus Prime situation.
Yeah, these are the same people that we pissed off in 1986. If we do it to them again, they're going to burn us alive in this building. And I'm not, you know, I'm not advocating violence or burning folks alive, but I'm also saying, if you're going to kill Optimus Prime, you have to have something better than Optimus Prime to replace it with. You can't just be, here's a different guy's, I don't know, he's a Trans Am.
It's hard to follow. I'm not going to go to my number one yet because I want to get some of these other ones out here that I had.
Do you want to talk about Transformers? You like that?
Yeah, but I think you covered it all.
Okay.
It didn't hit me like, mostly because when was the last time you tried to rewatch Transformers, the movie?
Like a year ago? I have it.
Really? Yeah. It doesn't hold up to me.
No, it really doesn't.
It doesn't hold up at all to me. I tried to watch it 5 or 6 years ago and it just, I couldn't get through it. So, I mean, I was okay into Transformers. I didn't buy the toys. I mean, I was Turtles and Ghostbusters. So Transformers were, I don't even know if they were third. I mean, I liked them, but not, I wasn't nuts about them. But I watched it as a movie and not so much as a fan. And I thought it was crazy that they killed them.
It'd be like if they killed Leonardo. You know what I mean? That's not even the same. That would have sucked. But
yeah. A few I have, though, before I get to my number one. These two could kind of be grouped in together. These are ones that I love that bombed, so I got no sequel. MacGruber, so fucking funny, could be it's another one of those. You could make those so cheap, and it could be a franchise. It bombed, like, tragically bombed. And Masters of the Universe.
The Dolph Lundgren one.
The Dolph Lundgren one.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
It was different than the cartoon.
Yeah.
Little kid me, what, 9-year-old me, 8-year-old me. I loved
Less
it.
Homoerotic, somehow.
I liked it.
Yes.
And then especially at the end, Skeletor's hand coming out. But it bombed. We get no budget.
Did it bomb?
It $22 million budget, it brought in 17.
Okay, that's close.
Close. Not enough for a sequel.
Well, no, not enough for a sequel.
But like it set up a sequel. And it was like up until, you know.
That holds up, though. I think it does.
It really does. Like it holds up as an 80s action movie. Like you go into an 80s action movie knowing that there's a level of cheesiness there, and that delivers it.
Yes.
But it's got enough tongue-in-cheekness to it that it's good. Like it's.
And to this day, still, nobody takes pot shots on Lubick.
Yeah, and I don't understand why it had to tie in this world. like the real world. I mean, it's the that's what killed the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah,
they tried to ground
that.
It
seems like it happened a lot in the '80s. They couldn't just have a movie on Eternia because nobody would watch it. But
yeah, I mean, they could, they should have.
Yeah,
let's like, why has there never been a Thundercats movie? Like, fucking do it, but don't tie in our world because we don't need to be there. On the kind of opposite of that, Grindhouse, love Grindhouse, but it killed Sin City too. I mean, yeah, now we're finally getting it, but
I don't think that I'm not mad at Grindhouse for that. I'm mad at
the studios.
Yeah, maybe the studios, and I'm mad at people for not getting it. Because I think both movies are good.
Either way, it centers on Grindhouse. I liked Grindhouse. I love both movies. Yeah. And I was excited. I went and saw it opening night. Like, yep. I loved it. I enjoyed it. But it bombed. And even though Sin City made all this money and was so critically acclaimed, studios looked at this and said, oh, Robert Rodriguez just had a bomb. We can't do Sin City 2 yet. What the fuck? Like, that is this kind of thinking that's wrong.
Yeah.
So that I can't watch Grindhouse or think about Grindhouse without thinking about that. It's not just that it didn't give us Sin City 2 when it should have. It's the whole studio mentality of, like, he had a hit. This one's not a hit. Obviously, his next one's not going to be a hit. That's a sequel to the other hit. Like, what?
Yeah, it doesn't. It seems like 1 and 1 is 3 on that one. But yeah, I can't hold that movie responsible for the idiocracy of the studios. Yeah, I was like, I can't watch it without thinking about that Mike Judge movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's what triggers those thoughts.
Yeah.
The last one before my number one. American Psycho.
The first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tend to forget there was a sequel.
Yeah, there was.
I love that movie. It's such a fun movie. But I really, really love the book.
There was a book?
And it's as good of a movie as American Psycho is. It's a shitty adaptation of that book. It's a terrible adaptation. Like, it tackles nothing that the book does. The book is so intense and so extreme. The movie looks like a PG version of it, really. Like, as graphic and violent as... So, I mean, but it was good, and people liked it. So that means we'll never get an American Psycho the book movie. Like, this is the closest we're going to get to it. I enjoyed it, but it's not the book.
And sure.
I love the book.
That's legitimate.
My number one, though, is a movie that people love. I spouted about hating it for a long time. I don't hate it. I hate the ending.
Is it Chronicle?
No, I don't enjoy that at all. The cast is good. The plot's okay. It's funny. Cusack nails it. High Fidelity. I like a lot about High Fidelity, but I fucking hate the ending. I just hate the ending because if I had a friend that one person caused him to go through all that just for him to crawl back to her... Fuck you, dude. Like, what the fuck? Like, I look at it as, like, Cusack's my buddy. And if my buddy does that, I hate that. Like, and it's, I get a lot of the same feelings from 500 Days of Summer. That's why I hate that movie so much, is because if I had a friend that acted like Joey Gordon-Levitt's character in that, I'm not hanging around him because he's a fucking, ugh. And Cusack had a lot of that, but Cusack had that charm and the character was more likable and not as sappy. Like, he at least wanted to figure something out. And then it just led back to where he was. And it's like, what's the point of this journey of self-discovery if you just end up back where you started? I just don't... What did you learn along the way?
To appreciate what you have.
Which was bullshit in the first place.
Maybe.
I mean, I just look at it as like, if he were my friend in that movie, I'd be... I don't know.
Plenty of fish in the sea is what you're saying.
Yeah, like I couldn't go over there for dinner because I don't want to see her. Like, I saw what you put my friend through. It fucking kills me that he's dating you. I'm not going to like badmouth her to him because I'm better than that, but I don't want to be around her because fuck you. And it's the same with, but a lot of it's fuck him too. Like, grow a fucking pair and do something. Like, he at least tried with all the others. And that's why I hate 500 Days so much, is that fucking grow a pair. Like, just fucking try something else. Like, I hate 500 Days of Summer so much because this girl tells you she doesn't want to date, and then you're just going to pine over dating her the whole fucking time? Fucking grow a fucking pair of balls and go use them on somebody. Like, ugh, at least Cusack tried and just ended up back. Like, it's just... I don't know. Same reason I don't like Rihanna anymore, because she's back with Chris Brown.
That's fair. So I think it's the same reason you'll never go over to Rihanna and Chris Brown's house for dinner.
Exactly.
Right.
I used to be a huge fan of both of them.
Sure.
Wasn't a fan of him after that happened, and now I could give a fuck less about her because fuck that. So them and High Fidelity are the same.
I think so. And I think that's a clear opportunity for a joke that Seth MacFarlane missed at the Oscars. That's the way he should have gone, and he probably wouldn't have gotten booed by making that joke. In honor of my co-host here, I do have kind of an also rant. It couldn't go on my list because it really doesn't piss me off. There was an alternate ending where if they would have gone with this ending, I would have been incensed. And I think most people would have. I don't know how far this got into consideration to actually being the ending for Clerks, but if you've ever seen the alternate ending, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen it, you'll never guess. So I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you just have to go find it. If you're a fan, I mean, maybe you don't have to like Clerks too, but if you're a fan of Clerks, check it out. See if you can find the alternate ending and see if it doesn't piss you off too. This probably would have surpassed Transformers if they would have gone with this ending, because I mean it essentially takes a great movie and makes it completely pointless.
I reached out on Twitter asking, and my buddy Zane got back to me. I can't read the exact tweet.
Korean Zane,
because he's not Korean, he's just in Korea.
He's in Korea, so he is from Korea. His emails
come
from Korea.
It's a huge spoiler, so I can't read the tweet verbatim, but basically safety not guaranteed makes him mad because he really liked it
up until the ending.
He hated the ending.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him.
He wanted people to die.
No. Like,
he's mad people didn't die.
What an asshole.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. I don't want to spoil it, but he liked the movie up until the ending.
I agree with him, but I don't think
I
want people to die.
I can say the same for Signs. Signs, up until the last 10 minutes, really, really into
it. Yeah, I guess.
Last 10 minutes, I was done with Shyamalan forever. Honestly, like that's
you and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Almost. I love, like, Sixth Sense was really good.
Yeah.
Unbreakable.
Yeah.
A fucking
really
masterpiece.
Good.
Mm-hmm. A masterpiece. I won't go as far as to say that's one of the best superhero origin movies ever.
Sure.
And then Signs, up until that last 10 minutes, I was on board with Shyamalan. And then after that, it's like, literally after that, nothing. I don't care about.
Not a fan of The Village.
The Village, I called the ending from the first trailer I saw.
Yeah.
Like,
because how is Shyamalan going to Shyamalan this? Well,
yeah.
That's how he's going
to
do it.
So, I mean, like, we're watching the trailer. I was sitting next to my roommate at the time, Jason West. Like,
Continuity Police Jason West.
The first time I saw the trailer, it's like, oh, I bet this is the ending. Him and his girlfriend went and saw it when it came out. You were right. Then, like, Lady in the Water just didn't look interesting at all. I don't like Shyamalan, and it all goes back to that last 10 minutes of Signs.
Was his girlfriend now the Mrs. West?
Yes.
Okay. I guess it doesn't really matter, but I was just curious. So good.
Anything else make you mad? I could go on about Turtles if you want to get mad. And Megan Fox is April.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. I think you did. I think that ship has sailed. We did a lot of time on Megan. I know we were both mad about that.
To keep we'll get out of here, though.
I'm not going to like that movie, though, so there's no way it can be on this list.
We're going to watch this, but not just any watch this.
The theme watch list.
Theme watch this. This is a bonus watch this for the week. Ryan stole mine, but we're each going to offer.
Did I?
We're each going to offer.
This movie came out before 1996.
Yeah, and I still love it. Like, it's a good, good movie. It's a good, 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 good,
well,
good, good movie.
It is. It's also a mad, 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 mad world.
You didn't let me give away the theme. These are our watch this movies,
Dave,
with Mad in the title.
We've talked about the people know the damn theme by this
These
point.
Are movies that have Mad in the title.
A couple times. Mine has Mad in the title. 1, 2, 3, 4 times. It's a Mad, Mad, Mad,
good
Mad
movie.
World from 1963.
I'll second that.
Yeah.
Mine, since Ryan stole mine, not the most creative.
You could have written yours down first.
But I like being a surprise.
Well, this is what happens when you surprise. I stole your movie.
I think the first Mad Max doesn't really hold up. I think it's kind of slow. I think it's a little old. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, it's fun, but everybody looks at that as like the best one. I'm throwing Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, out there. It's kind of sandwiched between the two. It gets kind of forgotten. I think it's my favorite of the three until Fury Road comes out.
It's definitely better than Mad Max. I think a lot of people just write that off as that movie never existed, and I think that's okay. But I do love Thunderdome.
Thunderdome's good, but it's just something about Road Warrior I love. I'm not discrediting Thunderdome. Thunderdome's good. But I guess when you think Mad Max, people think of Mad Max, and it's like, oh, it doesn't hold up. Or Thunderdome, which is an awesome movie. I just feel like Road Warrior is just stuck in the middle and doesn't really get mentioned.
Speaking of Mad Max, and to make a link to our last episode, our news and trailers episode, when we did the trailer for Kick-Ass 2, does Motherfucker not look like he belongs in Mad Max?
A little bit.
Yeah, I thought so.
Ryan teased our news episode.
Sure did. Look at how I did that. I set you up.
Earlier this week, we had a news episode. If you're new to Movies on Up,
welcome.
Welcome. And we do an episode in the beginning of the week where we talk news, box office, trailers, what's coming out. Then this is our discussion episode later in the week, which is usually themed. If you are listening to this in real time this week and you want to partake in next week's discussion episode, we'll be watching G.I. Joe.
Rise of Cobra.
Through the week and discussing it. Basically, I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it, have
you?
No,
full disclosure. I think I saw the first maybe 20 minutes of it while editing this podcast directly after wrestling one evening.
Yeah, neither of us have actually watched it all the way through. No. I think we have our reservations about it, but I'll go in with an open mind.
Based off of the first 20 minutes, yeah, reservations abound.
I caught 10 minutes of it once. And I honestly thought it was a sci-fi original movie, the way it was shot and lit at the time, until any of the stars like showed up.
Oh, you saw the first 10 minutes.
Is that what it was?
When they're way back in time?
I don't know. There was green lights, and I think it was Rachel Nichols.
ESPN.
What's the redhead's name, if it's not Rachel Nichols? But anyway, we're watching G.I. Joe next week.
The one that's not Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
Right.
Watch G.I. Joe. Let us know what you think. Email us whatever you think. The week after that, that'll be the week of April Fools. We're going to do our favorite movies that take place in the woods.
Because Evil Dead comes out.
Yeah, it's the week Evil Dead comes out. So we'll be doing that. So we'll try to hit the website and keep you updated on what's coming up, because we do want to get listener interaction. So it's not just me and Ryan talking for an hour and a half each week.
A little longer than that.
Yeah. So hit us up, moviesonup.com. Email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, @moviesonup, or facebook.com/moviesonup. You have anything to plug?
I'm on a podcast. It's called Movies on Up with Ryan and Dave. You should listen to it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Check out our news episode. Or keep coming back. Let us know if you've been a long-time listener. Let us know what you think of the
format
change.
First-time caller.
Yeah. And I think that's it for now. Until next week.
Keep it up.